In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we're doing two things that may seem contradictory. With heavy hearts we join in the National Day of Mourning, and yet with joy we celebrate the opening of our new buildings. I'd like to address both of those if I can, and see if I can bring together some connections. Firstly, the Day of Mourning. The Prime Minister has asked us to mark this as a Day of Mourning, and there'll be people gathering at the Rod Laver Arena at the moment to honour those who've lost their lives and to honour those who've fought to save life. Over the past 2 weeks, we've heard terrible stories of sadness on the one hand, and yet wonderful stories of heroism on the other. You'll have seen some harrowing images on the television, heard stories on the radio, seen pictures in newspapers and on the internet. And you'll have had your own feelings about those stories. I've been filled with both positive and negative feelings, and quite strongly too. For example, on a more negative side, first of all, I felt very deep sadness looking at the photographs of Marysville particularly, especially the Cumberland Hotel, where the clergy of this region, the Anglican clergy of this region, for many years have held clergy conferences. I could walk through that hotel in my sleep almost, and it was flattened. Elkanah, a Christian camping site where we've held church camps and women's camps, destroyed. The little Marysville Primary School that I walked past last May to go and get a coffee in the nearby coffee shop, flattened. I was amazed at the obstinate octogenarian husband who refused to leave his home with his wife. He died and she lived. How will she go on with that experience? I found myself thinking vengeful thoughts about arsonists and looters. Even Christian ministers struggle with those sorts of thoughts. And I was deeply moved at seeing the picture of the King Lake Church in ruins and yet still with its cross for all to see as a sign of hope. Grief and sadness, bewilderment and anger, and I'm sure you have felt those and other emotions this past fortnight. But then mixed with those emotions, I've been moved to tears by the stories of heroism, goodwill, generosity, and kindness. Like the farmer and son who drove two semi-trailers of cow food down from Queensland to help our farmers. Or the story of Lorraine Casey in Kinglake, who drove on that fearful Saturday night through burning trees, burnt out cars, fallen power lines to rescue a friend of hers who was lying on the side of the road. Or the four policemen who led a convoy out of Marysville just in time, saving about 200 people. Or the overwhelming response of financial support through the Red Cross appeal, the various levels of government, and many other community groups, including the churches. Or the hundreds of emergency workers. It was a very moving picture on the front of The Age one day where there was just a series of pictures of these people, many of whom are volunteers who have worked tirelessly and at great risk to their own lives. Or the Californian pilot of the helicopter called Bluey, a cousin of Elvis, who has fought fires on three continents and said nowhere has he been thanked as much as in Victoria. Doesn't that warm your heart? Or the single man who gave his caravan to a family and said, you use it and just pass it on to someone else in need when you're finished. I'll go and live somewhere else. Such goodness and such sadness all mixed in together. And I don't know about you, but it's almost been too much for me to absorb. The best of humanity has been on show for all to see and all to rejoice in. And apparently there has been a lot of hugging at the relief centres. It's as if the widespread destruction has allowed people to give and to care and to be cared for. We live very independent, I would say private lives most of the time. And it's as if this destruction in our community has allowed people to step outside and say, you matter. I will look after you. What can I do for you? And it's also meant that people have had to be cared for and to allow people to look after them. People who often live isolated lives are experiencing what it actually means to be part of a community. And I believe this in itself is very healing and very humanising. It's so reassuring to see human beings looking after one another, and I for one have been deeply moved and thankful to God for all this goodwill. Just so you know, I will be going up to the St Andrews area myself on Thursday to see how we as a church can help the St Andrews parish and the Strathewen area. Today is also a special day in the life of St Alfred's, for we are rejoicing in the creation of this new church and community centre, and we planned this Sunday some time ago before events overtook us. And first of all, I want to thank God and thank all of you for whatever part you've played in helping us get to today. I and the leaders of St Alfred's thank you. It has taken 8 years and a lot of hard work, a lot of patience, a lot of prayer, a lot of persistence. And if I can think of any more P's, I'll use it. A lot of partnerships to get us to this stage. And most of the money has come from the generosity of the people at St Alfred's. And we've acknowledged some of the other places where money has come from. This is a great facility and we pray it will be used for many years to come. This past fortnight, however, has reminded us, if we needed reminding, that buildings and even lives can disappear very quickly. I know this rammed earth wall behind me looks very solid. And the chap who built it told me that buildings that have been made of this construction are as old as 7,000 years. I know these trusses, if that's the right word, that are holding up the roof, look very solid. And thank you to Hank and Cooper Morrison team for making it look that solid. But we've learnt that buildings can disappear very quickly. And so we have to keep it in perspective. Our buildings are not an end in themselves. We don't come here to worship the building. What happens in the buildings is what matters. St Alfred's is first and foremost a Christian community and a Christian church. It is a place of Christian worship and prayer. Its values and beliefs are based on the Bible, and its ethos is determined by a dedication to be good representatives, as best we can, of Jesus Christ. It is a centre for a busy and energetic Christian community that seeks to have a positive and godly impact on the lives of individuals and families in this area. For those of you who are visiting today, you might like to know that there are about 450 regular members of St Alfred's who come from over 30 postcodes. I think that would be quite a number of electorates. Just joking. Not really. But St Alfred's is also a place which is comfortable to open its doors to the wider community, to be of service, to help people realise what is good and noble in human beings and help those who are struggling with life. It is a place of hope and healing. And it will be this sort of positive place week in and week out, not just in times of crisis, although it's important at those times. That's why we have groups for children and teenagers, young adults, mums and dads and seniors. Lots of people find life difficult, they find life confusing, or they might be going through life and it's all easy at the moment and then something happens. Even well-educated middle-class eastern suburban Melburnians find life difficult at times, and it's good to have places where you can go to get help. Now, we can't solve all the problems of life, but we can do life together. And sometimes just having people that you can share life with can mean the difference between survival and losing complete and utter confidence. Why are we committed to this? Essentially because we want to be, as a church, good representatives of Jesus Christ. The death and resurrection of Jesus gave birth to the Christian church. It's in his name that we meet, and it's in his name that we will continue to serve till he returns. When you look at the gospel reading of today, we note that Jesus is an extraordinary good person and a very powerful person. First of all, in that first story where he calms the storm. Storms, and after this fortnight we would say firestorms, are frightening. It's no wonder the guys in the boat were afraid. Where does Jesus get the power to simply stand up and command the waves and the wind to be still? That's what Matthew, the writer, wants us to think about. The frightened blokes in the boat don't know, and maybe some of you here today don't know. But what Matthew wants us to see is that when Jesus calms the storm, he is speaking with the same power and authority of the God who created heaven and earth. Jesus speaks with the authority of God, and that's him standing in the boat. It's a staggering claim, and it's not surprising that some people at that time and some people today find it hard to follow, hard to swallow, that Jesus is God. And we notice that Jesus doesn't use his power to impress people. He uses it to take away their fear. Jesus never uses his power and authority for his own purposes, and neither should the church. He is always using it to help others, and so should we. Every Christian knows that when you trust Jesus, you can face all sorts of fear with a courage you never thought you had. Christian communities can face storms together and together have strength for themselves and strength for others who might need that strength, and our community needs that at the moment. In the second story, we see that Jesus has power over evil. He only needs to speak, and the dark demonic powers that have controlled these two men are expelled. They are freed from the evil forces that can control people. And although it doesn't tell us much about what happens to them, what does happen is they are able to resume some sort of normal life. Jesus uses his power to release them from things that control them, negative, demonic, dark powers that are still around, whether you call them demons or something else, just evil maybe, and he allows them to return to normal life. Now, that is still part of the healing work of churches today, to help people get freed from all the dark forces that destroy life. Again, Matthew is telling us this is God at work. Even, notice, the demons recognize who Jesus is. Jesus not only has all the power and authority of God, he is in fact God in human form, come to earth to heal and save and rescue human beings because, folks, we can't do it ourselves. And the question that the Gospels raise for us is, how will we respond? Will we tell Jesus to just go away like the second lot of people did? You see, they saw the pigs as their jobs. That was their economic resource, and they've just lost it. So they said to Jesus, would you just get out of here? You've just wrecked our business. Is that all that goes on in our mind? Just get rid of Jesus. He's too problematic. Or will we respond with faith, like so many have done over the centuries and still do today? And that's the choice that every human being has to make for themselves. A Christian is someone who simply puts their trust in Jesus and does their best to follow him. You don't have to be churchy to do that, but you do have to be honest. You can't be a sort of Christian. If Jesus calls you to follow him, you've got to do it with all the integrity you can muster. Now, if you've never made this decision, can I invite you to seriously think about this, because you do not know when your life will end. Life is fragile. It is my job to tell you one day you will die. Before that day comes, I want you to seriously consider the person of Jesus, because you will meet him after you die. I'm not joking, and you need to put your trust in him. I would be derelict in my duty if I didn't tell you that. If you live in this area, we will be more than happy to help you discover more about Jesus and what it means to be a Christian. Let me go back to the bushfires. Reverend Tim Anderson is an Anglican colleague. He's a friend of Weihan's who's leading our service today. Tim is the vicar of the Anglican churches in Healesville and Yarra Glen. On Wednesday, February the 11th, he wrote an article which was printed in the Herald Sun about his experiences of the bushfires. He says that the church communities that he belongs to have been deeply affected. Quote, "All of us threatened in the Healesville and Yarra Glen areas knew people who have perished or whose properties are destroyed. The links run deep between the people of our region and the other bush communities that have suffered apocalyptic destruction at Kinglake and Marysville," unquote. He wonders, like many would wonder, where is God at times like this? It's a disturbing but necessary question. People of Christian faith must find a theologically robust and an intellectually rational answer to that question. Otherwise, the Jesus who calms the storm is just an illusion. And we do not want to live with illusions. Someone who might promise the world but can't deliver. Now, the beginning of a place to answer the question that Tim raises, where is God in the midst of all of this, is to reflect again on the cross. The cross of Christ shows that we have a God who understands human pain from the inside. Quote, "The scandal of Christianity is that when God took on human form, he suffered agony and a cruel death. Whatever our pain, we can bring it to God, confident that God knows exactly what we're going through, because Jesus already went through it and conquered it. That's the Easter story. From unjust death and destruction, there comes, for the followers of Jesus, healing, hope, freedom, and eventually victory." Unquote. St. Alfred's wants to be a community where the goodness of human beings is displayed every single day of the year, not just in crisis times. We aim to be a place of healing and hope every week. We do this because we feel a burden for those who suffer, and we do this because we want to be good representatives of Jesus. We are so thankful to God for these new buildings, but we don't put our faith and trust in them. Thank you for being with us today, and if we can help you today in any faith-related questions or anything else, please speak to one of us after the service. Thank you, and God bless you.